Welcome to Halacha in a Year, where we can get to learn all the most relevant halacha through the prism of the Ketzer Shulchan Aruch. You are listening to Rabbi Yaakov Tramp. This shiur is kindly sponsored by the Moshe Group and CA in Zuchus of Rivka Bela Bas Nechama Shifra and in honor of Rabbi Tramp. Today we are learning the halachas of the Heter Iska. Iska itself just means a business venture or an investment. We're going to see how it is permissible to set up a joint business venture with returns to the investor. Now, this actually is going to help us with loans, because as we know, when it comes to a loan, a Jew is not allowed to loan another Jew money with the condition that there is going to be interest paid on the money for the time that it was used. We're going to see how perhaps an Heter Iska will be helpful in this respect as well. Let's jump straight in to understand how business ventures can work, halachically speaking, and then how that affects loans in just a moment. So, let's start at the very beginning. So, let's say I have money and I want to invest, but I'm not interested in spending the time and the energy figuring out how to get money with my money. So what I do is I say to you, look, I'm going to make you my agent, I'm going to give you my money, and I'm going to give you a fixed amount of time, 6 months, a year, and I want you to invest it and come back to me, and we're going to split the profit. So for instance, let's just use simple numbers. Let's say I take $10,000, I give it to you, and I say that, look, I'm hoping that in 6 months' time you'll be able to turn that into $12,000, and we're going to split the extra two, so I'm going to get back $10,000 plus $1,000, and you're going to keep that $1,000. So for your efforts, you're going to get back that $1,000 for that investment. So is that allowed? The answer is it could be a problem of ribis, because the investor will get back his capital either way, so it's seen as like a loan. And the achrayos, the meaning the responsibility is on the agent, the person being set up. And so therefore, it's like the person is getting money to use and is paying back more for the use of that money as well. So what happens if I gave an animal for you to look after and we split the byproducts like the milk and the wool? So that's the same thing. It could be a concern of ribis because it looks like a loan. So how can we avoid this kind of investment, which is a commonplace kind of investment, being ribis? So the one way is for the investor to pay the agent a fee for the investing. So it's not just that you're splitting the profit, and therefore, which could be a more complicated, but rather that there's actually a fee that's being paid to the agent as a salary, and he's working for the salary, not for getting the use over the time. That's number one. Are there any other ways to tighten this up? So yes. So it can be structured as follows. This would be more ideal. The investor gives $10,000 capital as an investment with the condition the agent will either A, pay the investor the capital and an agreed upon flat sum from the investment, or he'll take an oath that the profit was not made or the capital was lost. So meaning, if he wants to split the investment, the profit, so if it wants to be that, okay, it's going to be open-ended, then he's going to have to take a shvur, he's going to take an oath and witnesses to prove that that was the case. Unless the agent can exercise the option to just pay back a flat fee, which is usually a pretty good fee. So as in our example, in this case, either the agent will say, I have to take an oath to prove that the money that in fact was gained in profit or lost in profit is as it was, and then return half of that to the investor. Or the agent will have the ability of returning a flat rate, let's say $1,000, and keep the rest. So for instance, in this case, $10,000 is given to him. He makes this arrangement. He's now going to return $10,000, which is the capital, and $1,000, which is the investment flat rate of return that he promised. And then it's fine to keep the rest, even if the rest even amounts to more than $1,000. And let's say he earned $1,250 or $1,300, the remaining bit will go to him. How does this help? So the reason why this helps is because this makes it into this enterprise into an investment, not a loan. Meaning the agent will not take a shvur for the loss, even if it occurs. He'd rather pay back just the flat rate and the capital to avoid it. And that means to say that the financial instrument is not a loan. It's not a loan at all. It has the concerns of a problem ribis, because either way he's going to have to pay back the $10,000. Can the investor sell the rights to his share of his share in the profit to the agent? So meaning to say, the investor says, look, I have the rights to that $1,000 flat rate. Can I sell it to you, to the agent? The answer is no. Because although in standard business practice, investors sell their rights to profit all the time. Here, when selling to the agent, it looks like the investor is getting back more than the loan, which is ribis. Meaning I'm putting in $10,000 and I'm selling to you the rights to the interest, but that's getting back more than my $10,000 for the time. What if I invested the money with you and I stayed by you long, and it stayed by you, the agent, longer than agreed upon? Does the agent pay back more for this investment? The answer is yes, but because obviously the more time means to say more can be accrued through this investment. However, these extensions should be stipulated in the initial agreement, meaning to say it should be saying that if the loan exceeds the 6 months, then per month this will be the amount that I agreed to pay as a flat rate. How does this relate to loans? I mean, like, this is all very nice when it comes to investment. So how does it relate to loans? This is where it's critical. And that is it is possible to restructure a loan as an investment. Meaning, a loan can be, as opposed to, let me say, I'm giving you a loan of $1,000 and I want to get back $1,100 afterwards as interest. That would be asur midoraisa, that's biblically prohibited. I may set up an investment over the course of 6 months of $1,000 and get back $1,100 as the return on my investment. That is allowed if it's structured as such, meaning I can restructure loans to other Jews as investments with it being legally binding. So, and that is what we call today the heter iska. That means to say the heter iska is what allows Jews to invest with each other and get back money for the period of time, but not as a loan, but as an investment if done properly. This is called the heter iska, which essentially allows the loaning market to operate in the Jewish world. What if somebody needs an interest-free loan for charity? Should I set up an heter iska? The answer is no. There's a mitzvah to give a Jew an interest-free loan when they're in need, so I should not be setting up an heter iska in order to get the possibility of profit. What if there's no time to write this down formally? So can we make this agreement verbally? The answer is yes, the heter iska can be done verbally. What happens, and this is the most common question, I wanted to really set up a secular loan template so it can be enforced in the courts of law of the land. But I say that, I tell you verbally that it's a heter iska. Does that work? The answer is no. If you're setting it up as a legal loan, it's a legal loan. And that's called interest, and that's asur. That doesn't make a difference what you say about it outside, then that's a game. What if there's a secular loan and a separate iska is written? So there's a secular loan which with interest, and the heter iska is also written down. So it's a problem because the inheritors of the lender could possibly pull out the loan document and collect it using it, and that'll be considered interest. And that's a real issue. However, so how do we get around this? So in this case, it could possibly be done in a way that the iska is in the hands of a third party and is signed by the investor and left in the hands of the agent. So or it should be referenced in the actual loan document that this loan is structured as is related to the iska document, and the iska document is kept in the third party's hands so that it's clearly referenced and there cannot be the mistake of this being considered a loan. What about if a person needs to borrow money because they're in need of liquidity to pay off debt, and so they need to borrow money, but nobody's willing to lend them money unless they're going to get back money as well as interest? So in this case, can an iska be set up? The answer is no. An iska cannot work in this case because an iska is an investment where I'm giving you money to invest to buy something which is going to accrue interest over time, or is going to be more expensive over time, and then I'm going to get back based on the benefit that has been accrued, the dividends which have been accrued. But in the end of the day, that's if there's actually an investment. If I just need the money, if somebody just needs the money to pay off debts, that is a loan. You can't call that a investment. So is there any way to get around this? So is there a way to navigate this so that there would be no problem of ribis? The answer is yes. The Kitzur points out that let's say Reuven needs money to pay off a debt. So you can't create a heter iska. So he wants to borrow money from Shimon who doesn't want to lend him the money without getting something back from this loan. So Reuven can sell Shimon an item he owns for an agreed upon price. Now, so that let's say he has a piano, he needs money. So he says to Shimon, I'm going to sell you my piano for $3,000. Then Reuven has the right to hold on to the item till the given date, let's say it's 6 months' time, at which time he can choose to give the item to Shimon, or he can exercise the right to pay Shimon back the money and more. This now acts like a penalty. So you'll say, I'll pay back $3,500 then if I don't want to give you the piano. So really, Shimon has bought it minus 6 months. He already owns it. He just hasn't gotten his property yet. But that Reuven has the right to either give it to him then in 6 months' time, or to give him $3,000 and and $500 because of the penalty. And therefore, that is a way that he can get liquidity in this respect as well. And this works similarly. If a person borrows money from another, and then the loan matures, but he does not have enough money to pay back, he can extend the loan in such a way by making such a sale with a penalty later on if he's not able to do this. That is another way to do this. So generally speaking, most loans can be structured as iskas, as investments, if done correctly, and needs to be in writing and specifically referenced. But if it's just to buy liquidity, to be able to have cash, more complicated to call that a heter iska, but there could be a possibility of setting up such a document in a way that it becomes a acquisition with a penalty if not given by X date. In terms of the nusach, the actual language itself, there are many heter iskas. I'm going to read very briefly the template that the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch uses, but there are many others which I will be sending, which are around today. So here is the one that he uses, and he uses language and places of his context. He says, I agree, I understand, acknowledge that I accepted from Reuven Horovitz of Ungvar, that's in the place where the Kitzur used to live, the amount of 100 gulden as an iska, as a transaction for 1.5 years from the date I recorded. And I've obligated myself that any quality merchandise, as it seems to be most likely showing profits, I'm obligated to buy with the above-mentioned sum. And this money shall take precedence over mine. All profits that Hashem will grant me from the merchandise will be divided, half the profit going to me, and half the profit of the above-mentioned Reb Reuven. Likewise, if heaven forfend there is a loss, it will be equally shared. Immediately after the end of the half a year from the date recorded above, I am obligated to repay the above-mentioned Reb Reuven, the principal, as well as half of the profit. I shall not be believed to claim I have suffered a loss unless I produce testimony of 2 valid witnesses, whereas, concerning the amount of the profit, I shall not be believed except under oath. However, there was a stipulation between us that if I chose to pay him for his share of profits, a sum of 10 gulden, then he has no claim whatsoever against me for the excess shall belong to me alone if it is established that there was a sizable profit. All credibility remains with the holder of the contract even after the date of the repayment. As long as I have not repaid the above-mentioned monies, they remain with me as an iska, as an investment, in the manner mentioned above. And I have received compensation for my labor. He gives this in Ungvar. This is in Shvat 1871, which is when he's dating this template. Shimon Eisenstein, before us, the witnesses, Levi Blaustein and Yehuda Hochberger. It's actually great to see all the different names. He used Reuven, Shimon, Levi, and Yehuda, of course, and then various Eastern European last names. And that is the Heter Iska. This is something which needs to be done. Anybody who's involved in any investing or borrowing of money needs to get involved in figuring out how the Iska is going to be used for their business, for their loans, for their personal life, to avoid the concern of Rebus. With this, we conclude the Heter Iska. Have a wonderful and meaningful day.